Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
The seventh blessing that we find in Jesus Christ, because we are richly blessed in Christ. That seventh blessing that's listed here, and there are so many more blessings, but seven is a number we see all throughout Scripture, and there's seven things that Paul listed here in Ephesians chapter 1. And that last one is that we are blessed. We are richly blessed in Christ because we are sealed with God's Holy Spirit. We are sealed with God's Holy Spirit. A seal is just a legal signature. That's the way to think about a seal in this context. It's just a legal signature. And when God gives you His Holy Spirit, He is affixing His signature to all that Jesus Christ has done to save you. God is signing His name. He is guaranteeing with His signature that every promise and that every blessing and all the promises are yes in Christ. That every promise and every blessing, you can be sure of it. It is a fact. You can stake your life on it. You can go through life counting on it because God has signed His name on the bottom line. He has set His seal on you. And that seal comes in the Holy Spirit. And so I just want to look at three things, because that's what you do in sermons. You look at three things. Three things today that we're going to see that we benefit from, that we are blessed by, because we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. And the first one is that the Holy Spirit signifies that we are saved. And that is not anything that I boast in on my own effort and my own work. I boast only in the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the one who saves. And the Holy Spirit is a seal signifying that you and I are saved. Because on the cross, Jesus did the work of salvation. It's what we just commemorated and remembered and proclaimed. It's what we just sang about. He did the work of salvation on the cross. And when the end came, He said, "It is finished," because there's no more work to do. In fact, after He rose, He was ascended, and He now sits at the right hand of God in the throne of heaven. And He sits there because there is no more work to do. He has accomplished. It is finished. And then the Bible says that He gave up His Spirit. And I know that that means that He died, because Jesus did die. He gave His life. And so when it says He gave up His Spirit, I know that that means that the Lord Jesus died on the cross. But I think in the context of this blessing of the Holy Spirit today, it also means something else. Because when Jesus gave up His Spirit, He then gave it to us. The very same Holy Spirit that Jesus had been with for time immemorial, for eternity, forever, as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have dwelled in fellowship and in unity and have accomplished all the will of God on this earth. That Spirit that was with Jesus as He went through His life as the Messiah here on earth as a man, that Spirit, He has given that Spirit to us. It is His gift to us. And it's a seal signifying our salvation. That's why there is such a close relationship between the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Over in Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached the first gospel sermon, as we like to refer to it, when he preached to those folks in Jerusalem about Jesus Christ, Peter spoke to them in such a way that they responded, and they said, "What have we done and what should we do?" And Peter said, You need to repent. You need to be baptized. You're going to receive the forgiveness of your sins, because sin is what separated us from God. And we're going to get the forgiveness of sins because of what Jesus has done. We're going to be baptized. We're going to get the forgiveness of sins, and we're going to receive the Holy Spirit. And there's a direct connection there between being forgiven of our sins and receiving the Holy Spirit, because He is the sign and He is the seal guaranteeing that, in fact, our sins are forgiven. And I want you to remember that where Paul wrote this while he was in prison. And I bring that up for this reason. He's in prison. He is suffering. He is in the middle of adversity. And many, many people who find themselves in that situation are very tempted to think, what did I do wrong that God is punishing me? What sins have I committed that God has put me in this place to punish me? But Paul didn't think that way. Because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in Paul's life, he knew with a solid assurance that when our sin needed to be punished, God sent His Son Jesus to receive the punishment. And it's so important that we get that. Because some of you who are in this room, and some of you who are engaged with us online, you may have gone through a period of your life. Sadly, some have gone through most of their life being unsure of your salvation, lacking confidence in your salvation. And it's not a coincidence that churches that talk very little about the Holy Spirit are full of people who are unsure of their salvation. It's no coincidence, because it is the Holy Spirit who is the seal guaranteeing and assuring us that we are saved. He is the deposit guaranteeing that there is an inheritance and we're going to receive it. Why? Because we have been chosen and we've been adopted and we've been forgiven and we've been redeemed. All these blessings that we've been talking about, they're just all summed up and sealed up in the Holy Spirit. We are God's possession, is what this verse says in verse 13 and 14. I heard about someone who read, a psychiatrist, who wrote that he could dismiss half of his clients. He could dismiss half of his patients if they could only be assured that their sins were forgiven. Half of his folks, he said, were in his office, struggling through life, needing help, needing a counselor, because they were so burdened by the sins that they had committed. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the Holy Spirit is called a counselor. That when it comes to forgiveness of sins and the assurance of salvation, we need a counselor. And we have received one. He is the Holy Spirit of God. And it's God's will that you know that if you're in Christ, you're saved. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit Himself testified with our spirit that we are God's children. And now, if we are children, then we are heirs. And so I thank God for the incredible blessing of the Holy Spirit, who confirms, who signifies, who seals that we are saved. Number two, the Holy Spirit signifies that we are not our own. We're not our own. Seals are used to establish ownership. Do you remember that when Jesus was crucified and then was placed in the tomb, the religious leaders came to Pilate and said, you know, we're afraid that his body's going to be stolen. And they're going to try to trump it up and make it look like he has come back to life. And so would you take care of protecting and putting a guard, posting a guard at the tomb? And Pilate did one better. Matthew says that not only did Pilate post guard at the tomb, but he sealed it. And when he sealed it, one of the things he was saying is, this is the property of Rome. Do not touch it. Ephesians 1:14 says that we are God's possession. We belong to God. 2 Corinthians 1:22 says, He set His seal of ownership on us. What is the seal? The verse goes on to say, He put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. When Pilate sealed that tomb, he was saying, nobody can touch this. When God seals you with the Holy Spirit in your heart, in your life, dwelling in you, he is saying to Satan and to the world, nobody touch this, because this one belongs to me. We're not our own. We belong to God. Paul reflects even more on this idea that I'm not my own. I don't belong to myself. I belong to God. He continues in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Whom you have received from God? You're not your own, Paul says to us. You're not your own. You were bought at a price. See, I don't belong to myself. I've surrendered myself to Jesus. I have died in the waters of baptism to myself, and I've been raised to a new life in Jesus. He is the ruler and the master of my life. I do not belong to myself. I belong to Him, and I obey Him, and I speak His words, and I do His words. And obviously you know that I don't do that very well, but that's what I'm called to do, and that's what I'm striving to do, and the Holy Spirit helps me do it. See, God calls us to do something, and then He gives us the help to do the very thing He called us to do. So the Holy Spirit, He reminds us, He seals us, that we belong to God, and that we're no one else's, and we're not even our own. Having the Spirit as a seal doesn't just mean that it is finished in regard to my salvation. It also means that I am finished in regard to my ownership. And then the third thing is that the Holy Spirit signifies that we have a glorious future. And when times are hard here, doesn't a glorious future look even better? See, the Spirit, the seal of the Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. And you know what a deposit is. A deposit is a down payment. A deposit is placed. It means it's a down payment. It's like when you want to go buy a house. And you've picked the house and you want to close on the house. And one of the things you do to indicate to the seller of the house that you are serious about this property is you put down earnest money. You are in earnest that you want to buy this house. That's what that word deposit means. It also, I think, is interesting. That word also was used to talk about an engagement ring. When you give someone an engagement ring, when you get down on your knee and propose, and they say yes, and you put that ring on her finger, you're saying, you're mine. I'm yours. You're saying, I'm serious about this relationship. You're saying, I see this relationship going someplace. That's what the Holy Spirit is as a deposit. God is in earnest about you. And God is committed to you. And God sees our relationship going somewhere for eternity. But the great and beautiful thing about the Spirit is it's not just signifying something about the future. It's a taste of the future right now. There are times when you and I get to experience a taste of glory, a taste of the Lord Jesus, a taste of blessing. Those are holy and sacred moments, and we treasure those. And they're just a taste to remind us of what good it is that is going to come. And so we experience sometimes in this life just a taste of real, true joy. Or we experience just a taste of incredible peace. Or we experience a taste of hope that shores us up. We experience a taste of just love. We experience a taste of healing or a taste of comfort. And when we experience those things, we are experiencing just a small part of the full inheritance that will be ours when Jesus comes again. And so healing in this earthly realm is just a taste of the full healing that we're going to live in when we live with God. Our deliverance from the bondage of sin in this earthly realm is just a taste of the full release from bondage that we're going to experience in the heavenly realm. Our peace in the middle of tears in this earthly realm is just a taste of the full peace from all tears that we're going to live in the heavenly realm. And so the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing that that future is real and awaits us. And we get to start tasting it here and now because He is in our lives. Did y'all know that we used to write letters to people? When Paul and I were engaged the summer before our senior year in college, she was with her family in Aledo. I was with my family in Livingston. And we didn't have any cell phones during those days. And long distance was expensive. And so we had allowed ourselves, I think it was basically an hour a week that we could talk on the phone and call using a calling card. You remember all those kind of things? Some of you do, some of you don't. But you know what we did all that summer? There's no email. There's no texting. We wrote letters. All that summer, week after week, we wrote letters to each other. Did you know that you are a letter from God? That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says. You are a letter from God. A letter not written with pink on paper, with ink on paper. Second Corinthians 3 says you're a letter written with the Holy Spirit on your heart. And see, that's what God promised all the way back in Ezekiel that He was going to do. And God keeps His promises because He's done it through Jesus. And you're His letter. The Holy Spirit is writing the truth of God, the love of God, the peace of God, the presence and power of God. The Holy Spirit is writing all that on your heart. And as God's letter, you are signed, sealed, and delivered. We were joking this morning. There's a number of songs that use that phrase, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. But I'm a Southern Gospel fan. And there's a great Southern Gospel song called Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. Signed on the list for the day of ascension. Sealed by the Spirit for the day of redemption. Delivered from bondage. And I want you to know that I am signed, sealed, delivered, and I'm ready to go.